Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We
get
beat.
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you guys today?
Good. Well, we got a lot of issues that we're working through, but that's just a typical Tuesday, Mike. Help us out here as we look at the AAF and their ratings and all this stuff. I was really surprised to find out that they barely made payroll and that they needed money from a hockey owner to pour $250 million into the thing. I thought we saw a workable plan that was going to be getting the NFL involved at some point, but this doesn't bode well, does it? And he's now going to have a big role with him, right?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. I mean, first of all, it's weird to me that we emerged from the first weekend of the AAF with this sense of optimism. 3.25 million average viewers on CBS, did better than the NBA on ABC that same night, and everything is looking good and cautious optimism. And then all of a sudden, hey, we got to have $250 million or we're going to go belly up. Like, how does that happen after week one? Like, everything's ready to go. Let's go with week one. All right, week one's good. Now, how do we get to week two?
Exactly.
We still there?
Yeah, exactly.
You got me?
Yeah, that's pretty ugly.
Yeah.
Hello.
Mike, yeah. We hear you.
Are you still there?
Well, we lost Mike.
We lost Mike. We'll have to get him back.
I thought he was joking.
I thought it was a bit.
AAF, though, if you're the NFL and you see this happening, are you compelled at all to maybe get involved and to maybe be proactive and to spend the money, invest in this as a developmental league and some of your own money, because God knows you have enough of it?
Yeah, I don't understand why the league wouldn't want that. I really don't. I don't understand why the NFL wouldn't want to be a partner with a league that you could conceivably lend a quarterback to, lend a couple of offensive linemen to. You know, the problem with the NFL right now is that you can't develop anyone because you can't practice. There's just not allowed to practice. So if you had a place to put some linemen, if you had a place to get your quarterbacks up and playing, as much as the level of football isn't phenomenal, at least, you know, if it can be the rebirth of Trent Richardson, why not everyone else?
I mentioned yesterday when Zach was here that I watched the fourth quarter of Birmingham and Salt Lake on Saturday because my defensive coordinator, Rick Minner, was the defensive coordinator for Birmingham. And I watched that defensive struggle when the kicker missed three field goals, and I felt like I was watching the Bears again. But I feel like when you see some of the talent there, it's not difficult to look at that. And as these are guys that are maybe one good season away, one good training camp away from being on an NFL roster.
And I think we have Mike back. Good morning, Mike. You there?
Yeah, I think I need $250 million in order to run my ISDN line.
Well, we could hear you, so we were yelling that we heard you. But at first I thought you were doing a bit, like you were saying that.
No, here's what happened. I was talking, and all of a sudden, a commercial started to run, and then I heard nothing.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. So that was probably an unplanned commercial that was being fed through my ear. So anyway, yeah, the AAF, everything was fine through 1 week. I don't know how they get to the point where they need $250 million after 1 week. They had to have known this was coming. But the good news is there's somebody out there who is an accomplished, successful business person,
right,
who is willing to plunk down $250 million on this bet. And unless it's all some big tax shelter, that he really thinks there's something to this.
That's a good point. I mean, he wouldn't be spending the money unless he thought that it was worth it. You know, Mike, switching to the NFL, today is the first day that teams can apply the franchise tag label to certain players. At what team do you think there's the most suspense around what will happen? I know there's been a lot of attention paid Landon Collins and the Giants.
Yeah, I tell you, pass rushers, I think, are the key players to watch this year, and pass rushers really in any given year, because other than quarterback, I think is the most important position on the field, and there are several of them like Dee Ford, Jadeveon Clowney. I'm watching DeMarcus Lawrence in Dallas because he's made it clear he's not interested in playing under the franchise tag again this year. They want to try to work out a long-term contract by the closing of the franchise tag window on March the 5th. But one thing we learned last year in the Le'Veon Bell odyssey is that if DeMarcus Lawrence would decide to sit out the full season, then he would put the Cowboys in a predicament next year where if they tried to tag him a third time, it would have to be quarterback money, so they wouldn't use the franchise tag a third time, and he could essentially force his way to the open market if he's willing to give up $20 million and not play for a year, and that's a lot of money to give up. But if you are passing on that money with the goal of forcing your way to the open market as a pass rusher, and we saw what Olivier Vernon got a couple of years ago from the Giants, you know, we saw how Von Miller was kept from getting to the open market. We see, and remember when the Bears traded for Khalil Mack and gave up the draft pick compensation and then made him the highest paid defensive player in NFL history.
Right.
One of the points I made was, how much would they have paid him if they didn't have to give up those draft picks? Would he have gotten $30 million a year on the open market? That's what Lawrence has to ask himself. How much do I get if I force my way to the open market by sitting out all of 2019? So I think that's a viable question to keep an eye on as this month unfolds.
I know this is old news, but Colin Kaepernick, the decision to take the money and to presumably sign a non-disclosure, right, in order to get paid, how does that jibe with what he was trying to do? I mean, does this include an assurance he can get back in the league or something? I don't understand if everything he did was designed to bring attention to a particular issue. Why is that not the case anymore? Does he view this as a separate entity than what he was trying to get done with the protest?
I think it is two different tracks. And when you do initiate the civil justice system, and Mark Garagus, his lawyer, pointed this out on CNN the other night, All you really are looking for is compensation. You were harmed in some way. You were damaged in some way. So at the end of the day, you get an award, if you're successful, of some amount of payment. And 95% of these cases get resolved before they go to a final decision. But the thing that really struck me, and I handled a lot of employment cases on both sides, for the employer and the employee, in 18 years of practicing law, and a very common term when you would have a former employee who was disgruntled and who sued, and the one thing you would put in that agreement is a provision that the person would not apply for or accept employment from that company at any point in the future. Because what you don't want is to write that person a check on Friday, and then on Monday they show up and say, hey, I'd like to apply for employment. Because then if you don't hire that person, you're stepping into another lawsuit, and the argument is you're retaliating against this person because you don't want to hire someone who has a history of suing you, and there are various legal provisions out there to protect people against that. So the fact that Kaepernick can still play in the NFL means his agreement doesn't have that clause. And this all tells me, and I've been hearing things, and no one's going to come out and say what the number is. I have a feeling at some point before April 1, we're going to know what the number is, because I think somebody's going to blab either at the scouting combine or at the league meetings in Arizona that are coming up in late March. I think it's seven figures, not eight figures. And I know we've seen some big numbers thrown out there. If I had to throw a dart, I'd put it in the $6 to $8 million range.
Wow.
I don't think the NFL is going to pay. I don't think they're going to pay big money when they fear that there's a chance there's going to be another argument from Kaepernick that they're freezing him out. The way that Garagus explained it on CNN, he said he thinks within the next 2 weeks somebody is going to do the right thing. Well, that would imply that if no one signs him, they're doing the wrong thing, which just lays the foundation to do this all over again. And I don't think the NFL puts itself in that position unless it is very happy with the outcome. And, you know, a lot of times what will happen is a company will look at how much money they're going to spend to defend themselves from now until the end of the litigation, and they'll say, instead of paying this to the lawyers, let's just give this to the person who has sued us and make this thing go away once and for all. And what the NFL got out of this, any emails, text messages that would have been embarrassing, any clumsy or clunky deposition testimony from owners, All that stuff gets frozen now, and we never see it. So there is value to the NFL. But the more I've heard about this and the more I think about it, I doubt that it's anywhere close to the magnitude that's been put out there. I saw somebody suggest 60 to 80
yes.
million. I don't think it's anywhere close to that.
That'd be fascinating, Mike, because those were the early reports. And I think even Dan Wetzel, we had on the program yesterday, said it was probably closer to 100 million than 1 million. So I think that those are... That's the information. Look forward to.
I think it's closer to 1 than 100. I think it's closer. It's closer to 1 than 100. It's closer to 1 than 50.
If you talk to personnel evaluators, talent guys around the league, do you feel like there's a sense that Kaepernick still can play? Because it's going to come down to that. Teams aren't going to sign somebody to be a symbol, or they're not going to sign somebody to do a favor of a for a friend. They're going to sign somebody because he can still play. Can he?
Well, I think that here's the question. What does he want his role to be? Now, you know, different times, different teams will have different agendas for their backup quarterback. Sometimes you want your backup quarterback to be somebody who comes in and competes with your starter and possibly supplants your starter. Other times you want your backup to be a guy who's happy to hold the clipboard, support the starter, and you get paid accordingly in that setting. We've never gotten to the point where we know what Colin Kaepernick wants because he's just been frozen out for the last 2 years. People have assumed things about him. There's been this whisper campaign about, you know, he wants too much money. He only wants to be a starter. He's a vegan. He's this. He's that. And I feel like no one has ever bothered to ask him, what do you want? And what's your objective? And, you know, last year when guys like Josh Johnson are getting hired on an emergency basis by Washington and they won't even call Colin Kaepernick, you just kind of look at it and say, something's not right here. And I feel like that sense is going to continue. But from the standpoint, and see, we got to remember what collusion is and what it isn't. If 32 teams independently decide they don't want to do business with someone, that's not collusion. If there is some effort of coordination, either through the league office or among the teams, that's when it becomes a violation. And, you know, at the end of the day, there was enough evidence to push this thing through to a full hearing. But when you assess all the factors, and I've done this many times on both sides, and there's no calculator you can punch numbers into and get the right answer. They just decided to move on. And that doesn't mean that all of a sudden teams are going to wake up and say, all right, we've cleared this grievance out of the way. Let's get Colin Kaepernick in here and give him a tryout, get him on the team. There are a lot of people who still think he's never going to play in the NFL.
What's going on with Kyler Murray here? I mean, why would Arizona draft a quarterback 1 year, the same GM is there, then turn around and draft a new quarterback with the first pick unless they knew they could trade the other quarterback for some value? Or if they trade the pick, that's a different deal too. I just am confused as to how we get to, well, they got, you know, a coach that needs a quarterback like him, so therefore they're going to scrap the plan and start anew with him. It just is a hard read for me.
Well, I remember 30 years ago, the Cowboys made Troy Aikman the first overall pick in the draft, and then they used a first-round pick in the supplemental draft on Steve Walsh.
Yeah, right.
And they didn't know what they were going to do with Steve Walsh, and they ended up flipping him for more than they gave up to get him, and it worked out well. Now, it created a lot of hard feelings between Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson. But, you know, I think that you owe it to yourself to evaluate. You're holding that first pick. You got to evaluate your options. And if you think Kyler Murray is sufficiently better than the guy you have, then you take Kyler Murray and you figure out a plan for the guy you have. But I like the fact that they're saying all the right things for now as it relates to Rosen. He's our guy. He's our guy. Because you can't let him dangle for 2 months and then not, let's say you don't draft Kyler Murray. Let's say you decide at the end of the day we're fine with Rosen. You can never take away that 2 months where everybody, most importantly the guys in the locker room, are thinking, boy, they really don't like this guy. You know, why are we following him? Why you know, you right. undermine his leadership by doing that. So I think you have to keep all options open when you enter the draft, when you have that first overall pick. And if they decide Murray's the guy, then you worry about what you do with Josh Rosen on the back end.
Mike, Antonio Brown active on social media. There's rumors that the 49ers are looking at Odell Beckham Jr. and kind of linked to him. Are they committed to getting a deep wide receiver, a number one guy this offseason, and where do you see Brown landing?
Well, here's the thing. As Antonio Brown tries to blast his way out of Pittsburgh via social media, a tool that wasn't available to Terrell Owens in 2005 when he was trying to get out of Philadelphia, can you imagine the tweets that T.O. would have been putting out there 14 years ago when he was determined to get out of Philly? But he's turning off, Brown is, other teams. because whatever this guy's going through now, and if he's starting to cross over into that Charlie Sheen Tiger Blood category from 6 or 7 years ago, where it's just all very erratic to the point where you start wondering, is this guy okay? And I don't say that facetiously. I'm starting to wonder, is everything okay with Antonio Brown? Do I want to trade for that guy, assuming that it's all an act to get out of Pittsburgh? And even if it is an act, even if this isn't the guy you're inheriting, who's to say next year or the year after that, when he decides he wants more money, he doesn't turn that back against you? You can't act surprised at that point. So, you know, Peter King pointed out yesterday in Football Morning in America that he has turned off at least one team. I think he's turned off more than one team. And I saw somebody say this on Twitter today, and I think it puts it perfectly. Antonio Brown is acting like the guy that the New York media assumes Odell Beckham is. And between those two guys, I want Odell Beckham 100 times out of 100 right now than Antonio Brown, because I don't know what's going on with Antonio Brown. And he's going to eventually poke the Steelers the wrong way, and I think it's all going to blow up for him.
Mike, thanks so much. Always a joy. Appreciate it.
All right. See you guys.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports.
Yeah, NFL never sleeps.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.